August 1st, 1979, with Mr. Frank Golder in Carmack, Side 1.
Well, I guess we're all set here. I was going to ask you then if you could sort of pick up the story from after the Cashel business in Calgary.
Yeah.
And then you decided or found out about the Yukon and decided to come up here. Was that right after Cashel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I start now?
Yes, sure.
You want any of the cat out of it?
Any of the what?
You want any of the cat, the Cashel?
No, we have the Cashel story. We've got all that down already. That's in the transcript which I gave you.
Yeah.
The Cashel story, we have that. But then right afterwards, he was captured. And then you left Calgary.
Well, he was captured, yes. Mm-hmm. You hung him there, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just that ends that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I'll tell you now. There was volunteers wanted to go to the Hudson Bay. What is that place of that name now? What do you call it in Hudson Bay? However, I volunteered for it. And I went to Regina to wait for the mob to collect, and I occupied a bed there that had been used by a fella that was carrying scarlet fever.
Oh, I see.
I came down with a scarlet fever. That's the second dose of scarlet fever I had. So I missed going to the Hudson Bay to open up the new post. So I stayed in Regina there for a time, and I was doing a little plain clothes work. Well, I got fed up with that. So I went on the escort for the Governor General. We started from Calgary. I went to Calgary then, and escorted him up into which is now Edmonton. There's only a few shacks there then at that time. That was old Minto, Governor General. After that, we went through the Saskatchewan Valley to Battleford. There's nothing doing in the Saskatchewan Valley, not in the way of farming or anything like that. And from there, I went down to Regina again. And back there, I didn't like that business, so I went and I volunteered to go to the Yukon. I was getting 50 cents a day in the territories. I get $1 a day in the Yukon, you see.
I see.
So I went. And I was the senior of a bunch, and I took about six fellas with me. And they were old soldiers, the biggest part of them. There was Cooney of the cherry pickers, the 11th Hussars. There was Donovan of the Inniskillen Dragoons. And there was Dave Wilson, the Argonne Southern Islanders. And there was another one with the name of... Forget his name now. Stevens. He jumped a boat. He was apprenticed aboard a machine. But he jumped it and came into the police. They all came to Whitehorse.
This was 1904?
Beginning of 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And there I stayed in Whitehorse for a time. That's after leaving the Cashel business and everything. And then I went on to, I was not there long before I went on detachment to Old Tekeena. I was there for the time. From there I went to the crossing, which with me and Scotty Hume. And from there, that next spring, they closed the crossing and the and I come to, which was Tantalus, this place. Tantalus it should be now. It was changed by the Rowlandson. He changed it and he had no right to do so. However, it stuck anyway and it's still now Carmack's. Well, Carmack's was never here. So I remained here then till my time was up with my energy. Then I came to this place and I was here for about 2 years before I went into the post. I went into the post in 07, I think.
Into what post?
Into Whitehorse.
Oh, I see.
From here.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you were here for 2 years.
'06. I guess it was '06 I went into Whitehorse.
I see.
I was here from '04. That was the, well, I forget to know just about what date it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on Town Station then for a time. And then I didn't like that. So when the they wanted somebody to haul wood and one thing and another way to it, I quit the Town Station business and took that on. Mm-hmm. I get another dollar a day. So I would get $2 a day hauling the wood around for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, and then you found another man for the wood business, I took over the tinsmith's hub, and I worked as a tinsmith for them. right up to the time of my discharge.
I see.
But I was always going to take the police on again, but I didn't anyway. Old Snyder was always after me. I did go for a little while as a special, but I quit it altogether.
So you were in for 5 years?
Just a little over 5 years.
I see.
Then I came down here, and at least I didn't come down here right away. The first year I was working I'd done some taxidermy work there, but it didn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done one or two heads and things.
Can you remember who were your customers when you were doing that taxidermy? Were they just big game hunters passing through?
Well, no, I'd done a sheep head for Pete Rich, Pete, who ran in the White Horse Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done a moose head for him, and I'd done a sheep head for Snyder, and several around. I done a bear head for old Dutch, the old French Demirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I could do with anything. Well, I done a few birds, I don't know. Anyway, I came down here that year, that fall, and went trapping through the Braven. This way, between Braven and Montague, and over the Norton's Gold Valley, and onto the Uchai Valley, across there, with them. Between the two valleys, I trapped there for a year, and the second year the same way too. Mm-hmm. At that time, when I got through, I came down here. But there was nothing doing much, so then I went to work on a coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed here ever since. I was 41 years here before I went into Whitehorse again. And I wouldn't have gone then any. My daughter wanted me to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And but however, I trapped and hunted throughout the winters and worked at the coal mine and on the road at times. And I went into fox ranch business. But I got in with the wrong kind of a gentleman, Mr. Drury. the biggest old crook that ever I had didn't do. I had to cook him out of it at the finish.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, it had gone down. The Frome brothers in the States, they started going to station. They were millionaires to start with. And they had quite a business there, and buying up foxes and buying up any old kind of fox, as far as I understand. However, they smelt me. They got the damn thing down to somewhere around $24. I'd been getting 150 for skins, and I couldn't. So I had to get out of that business. Yes, and people there, they fixed the fox business. And the silver fox never did come back again. No. And I had a lot of mink, too, that I'd raised. I didn't have much difficulty in raising mink. I used to raise ferrets when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Used to buy the same. I had lots of them, and I didn't know what to do with that. That's another thing that went on ahead. They'd been shipping mink out, poor kind of quality, and charging, I don't know what, a pair for these confounded things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that. I couldn't sell any live. I never sold a live mink. One live mink, that's all I sold. So I had a lot of mink on my hands. And of course, I couldn't keep them. They just didn't head. So I had to kill them all.
Well, just to back up a sec, you said that at one point that you worked in... You were working at a mine down around Carcross? Were you working for Conrad?
Me?
Yeah.
I was working on a big thing.
Ah, the big thing, that's the one.
Yeah, I was working on putting a trail in there.
Oh, I see.
1 year. That was the year before I came down here.
Oh, I see.
Steward.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I worked up there. Putting that trail up to the big thing, mine.
This is the trail up from the Carcross side of Montana Mountain?
Yeah.
I remember you'd mentioned that, and I wanted to ask you about it.
Yes, I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I... That's the job, last job I done in Whitehorse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked around here, as I say, and trapping and hunting till I got married, and I... Well, I built this place then, about 10, I guess. So that's how long this house has been built.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a time for an old house. And there it is. So, and the war broke out then, and I know those lads that went. Young Bunty Snyder, I know him in the first place when I was in the police. All these kids were about 12 years of age. Bunty Snyder, Jackie Taylor, the magistrate or the judge's son, and Georgie Chapman, his father used to run the light, electric light place. All these kids were all about 12 years of age. And when the war broke out, there'd be about 20.
Mm-hmm.
They all went, had to go. Not one of them come back, all killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gone too. But at that time, as I say, I was married, and I had lots of foxes, and mink and things, and kiddies. I wasn't going to leave them anyway. But otherwise, I'd have gone. But I didn't go anyway.
Well, you met Mrs. Golter here, did you?
Yeah. Oh, I knew the family of me. Oh, yeah, she was come from Minnesota. They used to cut wood up here, the father did. And out down in Lansing country, there'd be mining out there. And that's a number of years ago. And that's about all I can say, if you don't know. I'm still here anyway. I have no regret. I would have liked to go into South Africa again. But I never did get the chance anyway. Now, at the time of steamboats and things then, running on this river, and when they went off, I was very glad to see them get off, confounded things. You know, them steamboats is ready to kill more fish, use more tree, timber and one thing, more cut with. And the White Pass then, of course, was the White Pass. It had the foot on the neck of this country. And we helped old Black, who was a conservative, of course. And that's when I quit the conservatives. And my kids were deprived of a little common schooling. It wasn't necessary. At their man, he wouldn't get a school for the kiddies, the Tories. As I unfair as a trainer. He had kids too. No. Yet he goes to Selkirk, I heard. A fellow there, an American with a family, he found him a school at Selkirk. So we quit him here. And didn't he get mad? Oh, he lost. That's what we wanted him. Said old Doc Thompson, he got in. He was the liberal. And Bradshaw got mad. And he'd all been going now anyway. But that's what it is. Lots have happened since then. Fellas come and gone, dead. None of them alive, you know. So it's quite a few, you know, working out in the country at one time. I trapped and hunted. And I looked at the prices of fur today compared to those days. I sold all kinds of link for $5 a piece. Those things are fetching as much as $100 a piece now. I don't know what's the matter with people, because I can't see where $100 worth of link is worth anything like that. But it's not a very good wearing skin. So there. But when my leg began to worry me when I was about 90 years of age again. And I wasn't able to get around so good. However, I suppose an old fellow must look for these things, one thing and another. And there it is. Now what else do I have to tell you?
Well, Well, you should mention when you got married and when your children were born.
Oh, good. I can't think of the dates. Mm. The missus might have them. I'm not one mother and other dead. Mm-hmm. They don't trouble me. Days come and days go. Frankie, I didn't... Is he there now? No.
No, they're not.
He's 60-something now.
Mm-hmm.
He's the oldest. Mm-hmm. And Nan next. She's living in B.C. And the Brooks, do you know the Brooks?
No.
They live at Porter Creek. She's mm-hmm. the youngest daughter. And my old woman, I think, I'm 16 years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
She's 80-something now.
What year did you marry? Can you remember?
I was married to Swanson. Someone in 1914, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That man.
Funny, I was looking in the archives and I saw all the pictures he took.
Eh?
All the pictures that Swanson took with his wife. He had a kind of an unusual looking wife. And all his pictures are in the archives now. But this Swanson, he was what we call nowadays a young keen type, wasn't he?
A young what?
A young keen type. Would you use that term? A young man. Relatively young.
Yeah, a sneak too.
Oh. Was he the man that took your Macintosh?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, you told me about him.
Yeah, that was him. And stood up in front of me. And told me that I had never borrowed it. But a confounded liar to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That he'd never borrowed the thing. He was over here when it started to rain when I lent it to him. A nice new one too. Given to me by a lad who was skilled in the war. Mm-hmm. He used to work for Taylor Drews. Yeah. I lent it to him to go home with. He didn't come back with it. He had it for 2 or 3 weeks. I said, he never bought anything at all. What am I talking about? He says. I call him a damnable liar anyway. I call him again then. I give him some dogs. Mm-hmm. 2 nice pups. You know, I catches him on the trail, slamming and cursing these dogs. And I told him, I said, you never would have given them dogs from me if I'd have thought that's your kind of fella. And he said, they won't go. Is dogs likely to go with that? Would you go on with a damn thing in that? I told him, that a pat on the head is worth more than all that kind of thing when you're dealing with dogs. You spoil them all with your raping of everything. A damn cuss of a fella. I think he sold them to the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
He got out of here and crept out of here and he never come back. Blasted liar. And I hear them in making parties for him in Calgary and they don't know that son of a bitch is dying of.
Was he was the priest here for a year or so, was he?
Police?
Well, no, was he the minister here, the missionary here for a year or so?
Yes, a missionary, a beautiful missionary.
Mm-hmm.
They say, telling people not to cut wood on a Sunday, and I deliberately found him cutting wood himself there on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the Indians not to do this, that and the other.
Do you remember his wife at all?
Oh, that thing was a miserable looking thing. I don't know what kind of a thing she is. I know me and the wife, just after being married, was invited up there. Holy gosh. One time again between 4 of us. Sure had a buster.
Well, I suppose if they'd made a soup out of it, it might have gone a little farther.
Yeah. It's nothing but a gutter snipe putting himself up as a missionary. And there it is. And he's killing Calvary, I believe. And if he's got any conscience at all, it must be troubling him now anyway. But I don't think he had. I don't think he's conscious of Wolverine.
What did he just come in here and spend just the 1 or 2 years in the Carmax area and that was all, or was he somewhere else too? Swanson, can you remember what he was?
I guess 2 or 3 years or so. They all like that. I know beauty's company. One fella came here one time. I see him getting off the boat. I said, "You're a stranger here." "Yes," he said, "I'm here. I'm on the mission." "Oh, I said, well," I said, "I don't envy you at all with these." "Oh," he said, "I have a new system altogether." Well, I said, "I hope it's a shade." So about a week or so after, I didn't going uptown much. I was saying, you know, I said, "How you getting on with a new mission man?" "Well, new mission man, he go. He had to go back to school." He's here about 10 days. And there was another one around. He was going around. He wanted to save everybody in the world. He was crazy. So they sent him outside. He came back here again a little while, he had been shipped out again. Damn sight worse than ever. He was asking old Zimmer up there. That Zimmer, he never was one to mix with anybody. And he's asking old Zimmer. He said, "I want to save you. And you will come. I'll come to you," he said. "Oh, some of the time."
Well, did this man Swanson, did he build himself a place at Little Salmon?
Built himself a place at all.
Well, no, there were some pictures in there of a cabin going up.
Oh,
that presumably he was straw bossing it. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'd be lifting a hand.
He didn't do anything. He's living with the Indians, living there and eating their grub.
Oh, I see.
He never built them. He had a little bit of a shack down there. It's no bigger than the one that he got the refrigerators in down there. A little bit of a scrap of place. But he didn't build it. He never built anything. Skunk of a fella. I don't know if you know that mission.
There was one picture that he had which intrigued me, and he wasn't, as a photographer goes, he wasn't a bad photographer, but he had a picture of an Indian guy who was obviously a kind of a wild-looking man, and the caption of the picture was "Crazy Charlie." Did you ever know an Indian around here named
Crazy Charlie from Selkirk?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I knew him.
Yeah, that was just something I wanted to ask you about, if you knew him. Because he had this picture of him pointing a gun right at the camera, and it was kind of a funny picture.
But I didn't know he'd been taking pictures.
Yeah. Well, maybe he took them to send back to his family to show them how he was suffering, maybe. Maybe he took the pictures to send back to his family to show them how he was suffering up here.
Yeah. Where's his family?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I don't know where the devil he come from.
Yeah.
Oh, them. Miss. So he said, actually, that was another beauty. He went up in the Mackenzie.
Axel Worthy? What was his name?
Oxley.
Yeah, okay.
He come back, he was telling me a yarn about him. Indian had a nice gun.
Oh, yeah.
Shotgun.
That's right. I remember you told me that story about how he swiped
the knife. Well, I told him, I said, that's all very well. To me, says I, that don't sound good. I wouldn't want to do that if the poor Indian, he had more use for that gun than he had for that knife. That's about 50 cent thing. I don't believe in that kind of game. Well, he says, I don't suppose he had any use. Well, I said, I don't see why he shouldn't have use for it. Plenty of things there to shoot. However, there was Middleton. Did I ever tell you about that man?
Middleton? No.
Oh, he came to me when he'd been to...
This is another missionary, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had dogs. He'd gone to... gone up to Little Sherman. And coming back, he was tired and everything. And he said, all at once, a beautiful white dove got up and flew in front of me. And he'd look up at the... and he said, and then again, fly up again. A beautiful white dove. I said, that yarn might go with some, but not me. Have you been telling this to people? Yes, he said. That's a nice thing to go telling people that you're a beautiful white dove. I said, Brad, don't you know enough?
August 1st, 1979, with Mr. Frank Golder and Carmax. This is side two.
No, he was... Hey. You were telling him that there's no such thing as doves up here, white doves.
No such thing as a white dove in the world. Mm-hmm. You might hear that in the Bible with a... A pure white dove. There's pigeons. There's pigeons. But that's an off class. That's not altogether a dove. Although they belong to the same family, more or less. But wait a minute. I said, how would a dog ever... expect a dog to... a dove to exist in a country like this? Throughout the winter months, especially. He couldn't exist as I through the summer months. There's nothing here that a cute dove. A dove in a wild state lives upon seeds of all different kind of things and different wild fruits and this, that and the other. And to think that you're living here and there, you ought to know better, said I. That's not a dove, that's ptarmigan. I said, the same thing happens to me lots of times. The snow gets deep in the hills and the ptarmigan comes down in the valley. And they'll get up in front of you as they go. There'll be one perhaps on the outside, they'll get up twice. Remember, whenever you see that, there's more than one ptarmigan around if you only have to look. And that's what it was. It wasn't a beautiful white dove at all. Well, he said, and you ought to know. Well, he said, you can't all be naturalists. Naturalist elves, says I. You don't know what's living amongst you, around you. You don't have to be naturalist. A damn fool. He's trying to put the white dove over him. He went to Big Lake from here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And coming back pretty cold, he come back with Charlie David. Charlie David was ahead of him. And about halfway home, Charlie David looks back and he couldn't see Middleton anywhere. So he tied his dogs up to a tree and went back, took dog whip with him. Got back there and found Middleton kneeling behind the sleigh. Charlie says, Jesus Christ, he not make your dogs go, I make them go, and he did. Little damn fool. He froze to death. I heard he died outside, I don't know. Touched in a nut anyway. Now, I had all my time with them kind of people. It's an easy, well-going kind of a life, I guess. They don't have to work. But I don't think there's very much, not what you call it, more holy than righteous. Oh, Stringer was another one of them gigs. Always coming around at mealtime. Well, there we are now. So we'll start on something else now.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? There's nothing.
Well, I'll just stop it for a moment.
Tapping.
Mm-hmm.
But about 50 years, I guess, up and down the hills in this here country, I must have had in my time something like about, well, I should think about 60 dogs and more.
Mm-hmm.
And for 5 years, up and down these hills, trapping. Some years I do pretty good, and other years not so good. When the rabbit dies out as it used to, the link start dying off. And link will not breed when there's no rabbit. This, what they call a rabbit, is a hare. It is the variant hare. And a hare and a rabbit are two different things altogether. Rabbit lives in the known as a warren. He goes underground. And when the female has young, they make a stock. And that stock is about 2 feet or 3 feet deep. And she has a young in there. She don't go right on the ground. And she always just covers it up when she goes away. And the young with a rabbit is born blind and naked.
Yes.
The young of a hare, or liveried as they call them, do not go underground at all. They have their young in what is known as a form. Underneath a dead tree or something like that there, or what's fallen down. They'll have all the way up to 5 to 6 youngsters. And they're able to run around as soon as they dry out.
Mm-hmm.
The hare, proper. That's the difference between a hare and a rabbit. But they do call them rabbits, snowshoe rabbits. They're not rabbits at all. But that's nothing.
Well, tell me something about some of the grouse around here.
Huh?
Tell me something about some of the grouse here.
The grouse?
Mm-hmm.
In the first place, the people that get so... an old dog, old friend Mac, always talking about partridges. There's no such thing as a partridge. When you shoot anything like that, and if the tarsus, that is the portion of leg between the down to the toes is feathered, that belongs to the grouse.
Mm-hmm.
Feathered feet. Partridge has got clean tartars, none, like a pheasant.
I see.
That is. And that's the difference in them. The ptarmigan is a grouse. The lesser, the pinnated grouse. Franklin's grouse, or Canada grouse, as they call them. They have, and there used to be the pinnated grouse, they don't show up no more. He disappears from this country altogether. At one time, I could have shot a dozen or two in any place I went. They're gone. Been gone for years. The rough grouse, what you see up there, he's fairly common now. We've got a brood around here now. We have a brood or two around every year. 6 or 7 youngsters you got.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many left. But that's the difference between the partridge is a bird with clean tarsus and everything that's common in the old country. And the Austrian carter, they turned down and they're on the prairies and they're done well. I don't know how they are now, some years ago. Whether it died out or not.
No, they're doing very well.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
They're doing very well. They have them in British Columbia, too.
Yeah.
They call it a chukar partridge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our grouse at home, what he find in Scotland, in the north of England, feeding on the different headers parts of there, is a ptarmigan that won't turn white. Then there's a blackcock there too. He's another grouse. He's not so common though. And you know, in Africa, to my great surprise, I come across a bunch of small grouse, Pallas's grouse, Pallas's sand grouse, little fellas, running just like mice all around, all through the brush, the low brush. I was surprised to see them there. And I heard now that they leave the, come all the way from Russia. On the steeps of Russia is where they, right away down into the Orange Free State.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long way, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paris is sand grouse. I'd like to get some to eat. I guess it would have been nice eating. But that's the only grass that ever I met. But old friend Mackie, he was always pheasants and partridges. But it is a country I find. People don't go in for much, you know, they don't seem to know birds at all, or anything. I remember when I was in Tequila, I mounted two white crown or white winged crossbills.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bird you see in flocks feeding off the spruce cone seeds. And you'll see them at this time of year too, any old time. That is when there's lots of cones, you'll see them in flocks. The white wing is a pretty bird. You know, people look at that, never seen that bird before. Mm-hmm. No. This is a bird. Yes.
Well, there is, there's a man up here who puts in a bird report 4 times a year. To the, I don't know if it's the Audubon Society or something like that in the United States. And he has about 50 people who keep track of every bird they see for him, see?
Yeah, bird watch.
And he compiles all these reports. And there aren't many people who know their birds, but the ones that there are very good.
Oh, yeah, the bird watchers.
Yeah, there's a number.
In the whole country is great.
Yeah, well, there's lots of them up here, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's all right. They get boxed up sometimes with a bird. But what they're now troubling about now, I see that fella there on the, at that new, what do you call it, park, what they got there, somewhere around Cluny.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the peregrine falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a peregrine falcon, of course, the Wallach. I have never met him in this country.
Yeah.
But I met him, I know him. he claims he's scarce now. He's not so scarce as he thinks, in Great Britain anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Around the cliffs of England, that's where the home of the peregrine falcon. And I read during the war that they had to shoot a lot of them off. They had a pigeon post there now.
Oh, yeah.
Connecting with the birds, the peregrine. There's trouble in the pigeons and feeding them. Otherwise, he feeds upon the shorebirds, the plover and one thing and another. He's a nice bird, and years ago he was used for falconry.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cheap there.
They still are. When the Arabs will pay up to $10,000 for a good bird.
Oh, gee whiz.
And they're buying them up, you know, and this is what people are afraid of. Yes. The peregrine falcon is the one of the most valuable. It's not the most valuable, but it's one of the ones that they really like to get.
Yes, it is. It is one of the best. It's a bird that makes it stupider bird, misses it, don't go again. he's a falcon. Mm-hmm. He's not a Broadway.
Yeah.
You see, most of our birds, they do take a goshawk. I haven't got one. That's a Broadwing. You see these birds, a Swanson's hawk or the Roughleg hawk, furking around. They're not falcons, you see. They're just Broadwings. They feed upon a squirrel more and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hold anything, not to. They might have young birds, but they couldn't hold, or they can't stoop like a falcon.
Mm-hmm.
A falcon, he stoops and he hits that way, on the head. Down goes the bird and he goes. Now, take the peregrine, for instance, he makes a stoop at the bird and he misses him. And like a snipe going after. He don't turn again in his wood and go again for him. Mm-hmm. Bird gets a chance to go. Now, we got a common bird here, the goshawk. I hate that damn thing. I've shot all kinds of them. That was used a falcon years ago. Mm-hmm. But he's another one. He's a hawk. And he kills by constriction. He don't kill by hitting. He kills with his claw. Down. I seen him chasing the kingfisher here. I waited with a gun coming in my way, but he didn't come. Now, it's a biggish bird, and I killed quite a lot of them. When I had chickens, they used to trouble me then.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little down sharp chin. He gets out of the songbirds, the little fella. Well, he's a falcon,
mm-hmm.
that little fella, and he's so quick and quick. He's like the one in the old country, the Merlin. The gamekeepers have quite a time with him. He can snoop on and pick up a little bird and away he goes. He's only a small one.
Mm-hmm.
And the hobby is another one in the old country. The kestrel, another one. The sparrowhawk. And the goshawk too, a term turned up there, the English goshawk. But the hawks in this country now, I see Cooper's hawk up here now, a couple of years ago, and it was chasing the grackles. You know what people call blackbirds, you see them come up
here? Mm-hmm.
That's the rusty grackle. And a pair of them, and they waited till he got off the river. Then they hit him and they knocked him down here. The grackle. They were Scuppers hawk. They're something like the prairie falcon. But he's not a falcon, the Scuppers hawk ain't. But they all do damage to them. I don't give much on hawks anyway. And a shrike, we got one of the shrikes up here, a butcher bird. He's a little fella and he chases a these little red balls around.
Mm-hmm.
I shoot him on sight too. Oh, damn.
How about a bird they call a marsh hawk?
Marsh hawk is the marsh harrier.
Mm, I see.
You see him flying steadily along, something like a with an owl's flight. And he lives upon frogs and mice.
Mm-hmm.
You find him on the marshes. You see him coming in the marsh area.
Well, actually, you know, another question I had was, they call this the place where they're thinking about building a dam here at Eagle's Bluff. Is that one of the few places that you know of where you can find golden eagles? Is that a comparatively rare bird?
Well, I can't swear to that. I know they call it Eagle Rock. Whether eagles ever bred upon it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles used to breed on the old Tantalus Rock every year. I guess they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the eagle is not molested by the Indians nowadays. It used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be to kill him for the primary feathers. They used to split the primary feathers down. That is, the quills all down, to make snares for gophers.
Yes. How did they catch the eagles?
They shoot him, I guess.
Before that, would you know?
Hmm?
Did you know how they got them before they shot them, or how they used to get them before they got guns? Did they ever tell you?
I don't know. It is a snake, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But I've had guns for a long time.
Yeah.
I had bow and arrow, too.
Mm-hmm.
I could shoot him with that. Yeah.
Sure. Let's talk about bears.
Well, I had an adventure with a bear once when I was in the police here. Me and a fellow by the name of Olds. Olds was a prospector. We went up the meadow to shoot ducks. Of course, there was nobody around here in those days. And I had a pup with me, dog. And coming home, the pup, he'd been ahead, he come running back, scared. And I said to Olds, I think that's bears. You know, a little further. And he has two grizzly pups in the trail. I wanted to get a closer run to them, look at them. And I ran up there, and here comes the old female out of there. And there she stood up and looking at me, there. So I was going to go on back, and here's the old male coming in behind me. It was evening, night coming on. Well, I don't know what to do with that confounded thing coming up behind me. But I only had a shotgun, so I kept that. The devil was one of these Winchester pumps. I thought to myself, I'm pumping a bunch of logical to him. But the devil was where I stood. The Norton's goal was down here. I couldn't get away from that side and the hillside here. But just as he got up, coming closer to me, I heard two barrels go off. Holes had come up and seen him and let him have two barrels. And he turned up. Round and twisted around, got on the side hill and went by me, and as I went, I shot at him as he went by. The shotgun, I filled him for a shot. I looked behind to see whether the female and the cubs had gone. I didn't want to get in another twist like that. I don't know how they're going on with that, they're damn big things, you know. Just a shotgun. Of course, shotgun's good. Get them close order.
Mm-hmm.
However, the next day, I didn't know whether we had wounded him or not. Me and Talbot of the police, we went out and got on their trail, but we didn't see anything where they were damaged or hurt. See where they went, though. And the last grizzlies I see over the river there. That was a pair with a couple of cubs. They're going along just about this time of the year now. There's salmon now. You'll find bears on the river now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the big whoppers. The bears here coming here, that's the black bears. I only did one this year. Last year we went past here. I often seen them down the river.
Mm-hmm. But they come through your yard here sometimes.
Hmm?
I say bear sometimes come through your yard here.
Oh, down below there, and they never come right close up here there. Mm-hmm. They go by the river there.
Yeah.
On the shore.
Well, you got a dog that would keep them away.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes a dog will bring one to you.
Yeah.
I remember a trapper by the name of Phyllis. And they... Selkirk, at the Pelly, his dog. He turned his dog loose and he was busy building a shack at the time. And here his dog's barking. And we heard him getting nearer. And a great big grizzly chasing the dogs. And they're coming home. They brought the grizzly home with them. And he was stooping down at the time, not thinking it was a bear, because he was putting it on top of him. These dogs, you know, were barking at him, and he was after the dogs. Oh, I've never had much of a time with bears anyway. I've done a few bear robes, I never do any more of them. Half of them were brought to his old grease burnt or something, the way they treat them. The only one tree side is they don't seem to get it in the nut. When you kill a bear, you fry him. Yeah. He's fat as a rule. And you get most of that fat off and just spread him out on the ground and put wood ashes on him. Just when he's green, make the wood ashes wet. Now let them go just dry on him. Now take him and tore him as if you tore in him. You'll find him then as an ash colour. But he's preserved. He won't rot. That's no good. It burns. It doesn't burn at all. Mm-hmm. It's the potash that cures the skin there. And that's brush. Lots of the niggers in Africa making their crosses use nothing but ash. And they do nice work with it too, nice torn work. And that's something they don't do here. It's full of all their moose skins, I see them touring them. They're all pulled to pieces, more or less. They're too well. Mm-hmm. The only tanning they get is the fumes from the few old rotten logs. When you're more smoked than tanned, they're using a tan liquor. Talking about using tan liquor made from the brain of the animal. I'd like to know what the brain of the animal contains that is tannin. No good at all.
Well, it's probably a kind of a soap.
Huh?
It's probably a kind of a soap that's in the brain, and it helps to wash the fats out of the fibers of the...
Well, there's nothing that will naturalize fat more than potash. Mm-hmm. Now you take soap. You see what soap is?
Yeah.
Soap's made from grease. But potash in the grease makes that soap. It neutralizes the fat. The fat is no longer like fat. And that's what it does with the tan. But the tanning of today, it ain't no bark tanning like the old timers. If you send them to a tanyard, they use bark. That's oak bark. That's the only tanning you have. Now, in I tan a skin, I tan with acetan. I take 2 ounces of vitriol, which is sulfuric acid, a gallon of water, and 6 inches of salt. Now, that makes me a tan, Nicola. I take about 6 of them to the bear skin. And that's where I lose them. I could do 6 with that same tanning by the time I've only made up. And I can only do 1 as a tool. I've been doing them too cheap and I don't do no more.
Mm-hmm.
I tan them and pink them. And all I've done, first of all, for $10, damn fool I was. I lost money on all them damn things. I use an acid tanning. I don't know acid. An acid tanning I was using the finer grade skins. I'm pretty well certain of it. Now that acid tanning is all very well when you're using anything on a bear skin or something like that. Or for the mountain of AIDS. But for a fine skin, I don't know with it. But I know damn well the acid is never done to working, more or less. And if you put it on a fairly fine skin, you can expect to, in about a year, to be able to put your fingers through it. Mm. And I said, you never done working, I'm pretty certain. That, to an extent. But it is for big, heavy skin, it's all right. I've never seen anything bad with them.
But you use that same mixture on a moose hide or a bear skin or whatever?
Hmm?
Would you use the same mixture on no matter what you were tanning? Bear skin or moose skin?
Mm. Oh, no, I wouldn't on your bear skin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't do it. Not much on it like that. Borax is as good as anything on fine skins.
I see.
Mm. Borax can tan with acetic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't do it much. And if you use it to eat, you can. Of course, you've got to use on a skin, you've got to make kid leather. You've got to work at it afterwards, either with neatsfoot oil or something of that. But you use any of those white soap that floats, like ivory soap.
Mm-hmm.
And anything like that at the finish, that'll soften up the skin again and really, if there's any action, the finish. I got skin and what I done for the missus years and years ago. Fox skin and everything just as good today as they were there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only thing ever I use on a fine skin. It's just the borax. Of course, in the cellar preserving the borax, but I used to use white arsenic. Arsenic paste that I did. Well, that's all right. But it's not altogether necessary. Not. An arsenical soap I used to make. The birds and things like that. Ducks, the fat things like that. Hard to get off. The bloody fat. Best thing I used to use is cornmeal. First to scrape it. Get a lot of them ducks off. Duck mountain is. It's a different sort of most. You can't pull a duck's head through the neck.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to. You always open up the mouth, back, not in the. You don't. Not the breast. You don't touch the breast at all. You open up the mouth, back. Most of the birds, the head will pull through the neck skin and you can remove the brain and everything and turn it back again. But with ducks, you can't do that. You've got to. Split the top of the head and opened it that way. That's all fussy mess in them. And always fat, too, and you can't.